Michael Perry is a New York Times bestselling author, humorist, singer-songwriter, radio host, and intermittent pig farmer. Even with all of that, he is coming to Champaign-Urbana this weekend as the keynote speaker for the Champaign Library's Local Author Festival. Michael Perry, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So as you may know, there is a lot of farming around here, albeit different from that in Wisconsin. And it's clear from your writing that you have a great affection for farming. What about it resonates so well with you?
Well, I think a couple of things. One is it's just what I knew. Growing up, I grew up on a small dairy farm, cleaning calf pens and baling hay and plowing. And my dad also had some sheep, and then we logged in the winter. So it was just a lifestyle that I grew up with. I like the smell of dirt in the spring, you know, when it's just being turned over. And then also, I came to writing backwards. I never expected any of this. But the most important rule of surviving as a writer I learned from my father years ago while cleaning his calf pens, and that was just keep shoveling until you got a pile so big someone has to notice. And I just apply that. I mean, I'm in my little room over the garage right now because I've got a deadline, and you don't have to do anything fancy. You just have to show up and get the work done. So I think growing up on the farm, it gave me all kinds of wonderful material. I was blessed with a pretty solid childhood. But it also taught me to be pretty clear-eyed about how tough farming is. I mean, I go to great lengths in my books to point out that I'm not a real farmer. I'm a writer who does a little bit of, tiny little bit of farming on the side. Big difference.
So what are some of the challenges you've run into? Some of the victories?
Well, the biggest challenge is I wrote this book called Coop, which is about raising chickens, pigs, and babies, basically. And shortly after it came out, I went off on a pretty long extended book tour, and that's great. You're thrilled as a writer to be doing that. But when I came back home, my wife explained to me that she found it somewhat ironic that I had written a book about raising chickens, pigs, and babies and then disappeared on book tour while she was at home raising chickens, pigs, and babies. And so one of the fundamental issues that I've run into with trying to raise some animals is you just have to be there, and you have to walk among the animals and see how they're doing each day. And you just can't do that when you're on the road. And that's why I changed my bio. It used to say amateur pig farmer. Now it says intermittent pig farmer.
Your visit to Champaign-Urbana this weekend, I understand you're talking about being a Midwestern writer. How do you feel the Midwest has shaped your writing?
Well, it's my frame of reference, no matter where I'm writing. I've been down in rural Panama, little tiny fishing villages, and once in a little mountain town down there, and I can see all kinds of similarities. To me, it's just a little warmer version of the Midwest, and I have to work on my Spanish. I find resonation with the Midwest all over the place, all over the world. On the other hand, I think one of the great advantages goes hand in hand with the disadvantage, and that is that the coasts tend to overlook us benignly, I think, but I just had an East Coast reviewer write about one of my books that I took my characters right out of central casting, as if you live in the Midwest and you farm or you log, that you're a character in a TV play. But the greatest advantage for a guy like me is that there's just stuff going on here that seems exotic to people, even though it's right in our backyard.
Much of your work is autobiographical. Do you see how everyday events will transfer to the page as they are unfolding, or do you decide later to write about them?
It's usually later and reflective, especially since I have a novel coming out in May, but mostly I operate in the nonfiction memoir theater, if you will. And so I don't go out looking for things to happen. I'm just mostly, like any writer, taking notes. I don't journal. I don't keep a diary, but I keep copious notes on little field notebooks and gum wrappers. And so at some point, something will begin to coalesce.
Mm-hmm. Your family features a lot in your writing. How do they tend to respond to it?
Pretty good. I mean, my wife and my two daughters, of course, I was doing this before I met them, so they walked into it, didn't really ask for it. And I'm pretty careful. I'm not in the business of blowing anybody's life up, but I'm also not in the business of just making everything look peachy keen and white picket fence. Usually the way I deal with it is I do give people a chance to fact check me, but the interpretation is always going to be mine.
Mm-hmm. And as you've kind of touched on, you've written in so many different genres. You know, after a number of articles and memoirs, you've published a young adult fiction novel, The Scavengers, and you have another novel coming out, this one for adults called The Jesus Cow. What made you decide to switch genres and work in fiction for a while?
Well, a combination of some artistic hunger, but also just some fundamental reality. Because I'm a full-time freelancer, so the law has asked me where I get my inspiration, and I tell him my muse is a bald-headed guy named Jim. He sits in a swivel chair 9 miles up the road from me at the Sterling Bank, and he holds my mortgage. And so in the one very practical sense, I have to keep writing. I have to keep coming up with new ideas. On the other hand, there are certain things like the Jesus Cow and the Scavengers where I have the kernel of an idea that's outside my genre. But I hit a point where I thought, you know, I've done 4 memoirs in a row and I'm not even 50. Maybe now would be a time to try this novel idea that I had and to work on the Scavengers, knowing full well that perhaps the audience that I'm very grateful to say I have for the memoirs may not completely go with me on this little side adventure.
Do you have a style you prefer?
I have to say, yeah, I love just the nonfiction essay. I like a nice 6,000-8,000-word essay on whatever I want because you can just do so much in that form and yet also feel as if there's a chance of getting it finished.
In one of your books, Visiting Tom, you tell the story of a neighbor. Why Tom?
Well, a lot of reasons. One is he and his wife were evocative to me of the people I grew up with. Rural, nothing much fancy, most of them self-taught, often people who could turn their hands to anything. Tom can build anything. Tom can tear anything apart, put it back together. His wife not only ran the household, but was out running machinery. When he needed parts for the engine he was tearing apart, she would go to town and get them, and she knew exactly what she needed and was smart enough about engines. No one took advantage of her. And so I'm fascinated with those kind of people because we've become so specialized. It's not bad or good. It's just what it is. And so there was a fascination with that. I would say, believe it or not, one of the main reasons I wanted to write that book is summed up in about 2 pages of the book, and it was their kitchen. I just loved going to sit in their kitchen because it reminded me of the kitchens of my youth where you sat down and you talked about whatever came up and you just engaged in the art of conversation without necessarily thinking of it in terms of art. So there was that, but also I wanted to write about what happens when someone from that era bucks up against progress and in Tom's case, an interstate highway that cut literally through his yard and disrupted his farm, split it in two, and cost him a lot of anguish, and even you could say some of his living. And then finally, I'm a guy who I love humor, and just about everything I write has some sort of humor in it, and Tom is a funny guy. Mm-hmm. So I knew he would feed me lots of stories where I would basically, I wouldn't so much be a writer as a stenographer, and of course that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Turning to one of the many, many different things you do, you host a radio variety show called Tent Show Radio. What has that been like, and how did you get started with the show?
It was a show I listened to for years. I mean, it was started by folks long before me. It's all based out of a giant canvas tent up in Bayfield, Wisconsin, and acts of every nature come through there, everybody from Lyle Lovett to Willie Nelson to the Indigo Girls, right down to a local group. And at one point, I was asked to come up there and just do a humorous monologue, and then they invited me back. And so each summer, I do 2 or 3 appearances up there. Every once in a while, I bring my band up, and we do a show. And then they needed a host for this long-running radio show, and so they asked if I would do it. And I said, sure, until you can find someone to replace me. It's been 5 years, so I'm still substituting, but it's a lot of fun. It's they record all of the live music up there and then edit the live shows down to fit the program parameters. And then I introduce the acts and I also do a monologue. And it is theater of the mind. I mean, the music is absolutely happening live. What you hear is what you hear in the tent. But my stuff is added in post-production because I can't be there for every single show.
Cool. You mentioned you also have a band yourself, The Long Beds.
Yeah.
How did you get started in music?
Well, I spent years writing about music. For about 10 years, I covered a lot of country music. It was a complete accident. I had written one article about country music, and some national magazine called here locally to get someone to review a country music festival, and the local guy was too busy, and he had read the only article I'd ever written about country music. And he said, well, there's this guy up in rural Wisconsin who writes And so I got a phone call out of the blue from an editor, I think it was, and she said, are you the guy who writes about country music? And I just said, yes. And that turned into an assignment, which turned into another assignment. And for about 10 years, I wrote about all kinds of country musicians, went on tour, you know, rode on the buses and wrote about that life. And so I had been around musicians, and then I have a lot of friends who are musicians. And I had started writing. I learned three chords, just enough to be dangerous. And I tend to write for hours and hours on end. And you want to take a break, but you don't want to shut your head off. And so for me, it's a great way to take a break, to get up from the keyboard, walk across the room, pick up the guitar, and work on a song. And then I got to where I had about 30 songs, and a musician friend of mine said, well, you should play them out in public. And I said, no, I'm scared. And he booked us into a coffee shop and made me do it. And it went all right, and people asked us to come back, and so eventually it turned into a band, and now we do. We didn't do a lot this year because I've had so many book deadlines, but we do somewhere between 10 and 15 shows a year, and we have a record deal with a little label out of Minneapolis, and it's become a real nice supplement. I really enjoy it, and there's some overlap with the writing, with the books, of course, but yeah, it's been fun.
Cool. Do you think having such a diverse background really influences your work?
Yeah, I think the best thing I got going for me, my mom, we didn't have TV or anything. I was raised in an obscure fundamentalist Christian sect, which sounds scary, but really was very quiet and gentle and loving. And I'm no longer part of it, but my parents are, and I no longer believe what they believe, but I try every day to be more like them. And what my mom did do is she kept the house filled with books, and she taught me to read when I was 4 years old. And to this day, I don't speak that eloquently. I have a hard time with the rules of grammar. I tend to write by ear, which has its pros and cons. But what really helped me was just experience. By the time I got into writing, I was in my early 20s. I'd already graduated from college. I'd worked all kinds of jobs, lots of, you know, on sawmills. I'd driven truck. I grew up on the farm. I worked 5 years on a ranch in Wyoming, did branding and Roundup. I have a bachelor's degree in nursing. I had worked on the ambulance. I had worked in the hospital. I'd done surgery, assisted in surgery. And so when it came time to write, I guess I didn't have a lot of chops, but I had a lot of material. And more than material, I just had a lot of perspectives secondary to the people I observed in all those different jobs. It's one of the reasons I still love living in rural Wisconsin and being on the fire department, having my pickup truck with a snowplow on it, is you stay in touch with, I think, the things that drive some source of creativity.
So what's next for you?
What's next is this afternoon, as soon as I get off the phone, I'm sitting down to work on a magazine article about tinnitus or ringing in the ears. And then tonight I will be meeting with some of my musician friends, and I'm doing a bunch of creative material for a big music festival that's happening here in Wisconsin this summer with Bon Iver and the National, and a bunch of folks are coming in. And yeah, so that's what I'm working on. And then I have a novel coming out in May, so I'm already working on my next nonfiction book, which is due in December. Also have to feed the chicken.
Very cool.
The word that comes to mind whenever I do these interviews is just gratitude. I feel like the luckiest knucklehead ever. None of this was planned. I love being able to be a writer. I love hanging out with writers when I do, and I love hanging out with readers. And so I'm very much looking forward to coming down to the event because it's just very uplifting to be in the presence of people who like the written word.
And we are looking forward to having you. Michael Perry will be speaking at the Champaign Public Library on Writing from the Middle of Nowhere and signing books on April 11th at 2 p.m.